For you guys that don't know, the singers, they practiced on Thursday night, and I just happened to be here Thursday night, and I knew that they were going to sing this champion song. And, you know, so I was thinking about preaching about victory or whatever, and I'm going to start out in a verse like that, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do in a minute. I'm going to start out with 1 John 4:4, which is a verse I started out with on Wednesday night, but it talks about victory. We're reading from the New Living Translation. Most of you know what it says. It says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over these people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world." But I want you to notice it says that you have already won a victory. You've already won a victory because the champion lives on the inside of you. Whenever you face a battle, you've already won. And your mentality is, you know what? I'm not going to lose. Because how many times have we faced a situation and you can't sleep at night because you think you're going to lose? Do you realize if you think you're going to lose, if you can't sleep at night because you think you're going to lose, you have not already won. You only win when you know you've already won. Do you realize that winners celebrate? Winners celebrate. Have you ever watched, you know, the World Series, Super Bowl, the NCAA National Championship or whatever? Every time they win, they celebrate. All right, if you've already won, you should be celebrating in the middle of the battle because you know the outcome. You know what's happening because you know that you are the champion, not because you're anybody, but because the champion dwells on the inside of you. And you need to have a different attitude when you're facing an adverse situation. Yeah, it might look bad. It might look tough. It might look, but what does the Bible say? My grandfather told me many times, what does the Word of God say? Well, the Word of God says you have already won the victory over those people. So why don't you act like the word is true? Why don't you understand that if you've already won, then you'll act differently? Winners act differently than losers. And I'm not calling anybody a loser. But, you know, we've all been there where we faced a tough game and in the end, you know, we didn't score enough points and we lost and you know, you have a dejected feeling. But man, when you win that game, it don't matter if you only won by 1 point. Or if you happen to play a game like soccer, you won in a shootout, you know, which is stupid. But anyway, I always hate shootouts. Well, mainly because I was a goalie. So obviously you do not like to go to a shootout because you feel that you're the one that caused the team to lose. But anyway, you know, it doesn't matter. And see, here's the thing is that we get all upset because we don't realize the victorious one lives on the inside of us. Now, I said all this to say, you know, when I was going to go, there's all kinds of different ways you could go with victory. But you know what? I want to look back. I want to call it old school or whatever. I want to look back at David and Goliath. You know, that's one of the biggest victories that you read about in the Bible, David and Goliath. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, just because it kind of says things a little bit different. And for some of you who don't know where it is, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting with verse number 4, it says this, "Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall." Now, there's some accounts that account for him over 11 feet tall. I don't know. He was a big dude. All right. That's all I know. All right. It says he wore a bronze helmet and his bronze coat of mail. Now, this coat of mail, it doesn't mean he had U.S. Postal Service mail on. He actually had body armor. Okay, that's, you know, in the way we see it, it's body armor. His body armor weighed 125 pounds. I don't know if you've ever lifted 125 pounds, but he wore that on his body. All right, so that's, I mean, I'm thinking, if I had to put 125 pounds on my body, I mean, I couldn't even move. It would be, instead, he also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam. Everyone knows what a weaver's beam, right? Everybody here, I mean, I'll talk about that in a minute, all right? It was tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. So the spearhead of his spear weighed 15 pounds. But so you realize that if your spearhead is really heavy, then you also have to have a counterweight in the back, because if not, you, every time you throw the thing, it would just plummet. So I actually looked it up, you know, because I'm a Googleologist, everybody knows that. I looked it up, and so the spear itself was 12 feet 7 inches long. All right, it weighed 33 pounds and 12 ounces, so right at 34 pounds for that whole spear. I mean, you can get a good workout just lifting your spear. So, the point the Bible is trying to make is this was a big dude. This was a tough dude. He was a strong dude. And, he looked like he was undefeatable. All right. And so, there are some times that you're going to face a battle when it looks like it's undefeatable. It looks like there's no way you're coming out. It looks like, it's going to be the end. And that's how most people thought. Now, not only this man had an armor bearer who walked ahead of him and carried a shield. Well, because he had all this stuff, he couldn't even carry his own shield. So, what do? I carry the shield. All right. So here's what it says. It says, Goliath, the first number 8, stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I'm the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the army of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. See, you know what? When they were facing an adversary, they're like, I don't know what we're going to do. Now, they were looking at how big the individual was. And that's what happens to us. A lot of times we look at how big our situation, that we're facing is, and we forget about how big our God is. We forget about that wherever we go, the champion walks with us at all times. We forget about who's on the inside. We forget about we've already won the victory, because what happens is our eyes begin to look toward how tough it is, how big it is, how it seems impossible, and we forget, that we have a Bible full of things, and we forget what the scripture says. All things are possible to him that believes. We forget all those things because we go out of focus sometimes because we're like, well, that looks impossible. Well, I'm going to tell you what, a lot of things look impossible, but it doesn't matter. We serve the impossible God. It doesn't matter how big your Goliath is. And I understand most of the time you're probably not facing an actual human being. But you might have a Goliath of whatever, Goliath of sickness, a Goliath of debt, or Goliath of all kinds of issues. But the Bible says you have already won before you even get into the battle. Now, the children of Israel didn't know that, obviously. It says right here in verse 16, for 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. Isn't this interesting to me? You know what? I just kind of thought this. They're sitting there for 40 days talking smack to each other, or he's talking smack to them. If he really wants to do is come attack them. I don't understand why they never actually attack. I mean, when you got a guy like this on your side. Anyway, this is where David comes in. David was there bringing food or bringing some bread and stuff to his brothers, and he began, verse 23. So he was there bringing food to his brothers and stuff. In verse 23, it says, as he was talking, this is talking about Goliath, as he was talking with them, so David was there, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout as usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. I mean, they ran away just seeing the man. I mean, they didn't want to even look at the guy. All right. And so it says, skipping down to verse 26, David asked a soldier standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" He's like, who is this dude? Who is this guy that can defy the armies of God? Now, I want you to understand, because I looked it up, and you know, David was just a young man. He was a youth, and also too, you know, the people of that age seemed to be, for the most part, a little shorter. In fact, they said Saul was somewhere, he was a little over 6 feet. Some accounts might be a little taller. Says that David stood somewhere near 5 feet tall. 5 feet tall. He was 5 feet tall. I want you to gather that so you realize that's almost half of Goliath's height. And when everybody else was afraid, he was like, who is this dude that defies the army of Israel? You know, why aren't you doing anything about it? 5 feet tall. Now see, you know, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't scared, you know, because he knew that his God was with him. All right. So it's interesting, skipping down to verse 28. It says, when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway, he demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. Interesting part about this. Verse 29 says, that's why I like to live in translation sometimes. It says, what have I done now? David replied, I was only asking a question. And so he walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. So here he is standing in front of King Saul. I'm trying to get you to picture this. I'm trying to get you to picture. There was a giant man, but he wasn't just a giant man. He had a huge spear. Not only that, he had a javelin and a sword and somebody else to carry his shield. Almost 10 feet tall, and here's a 5 foot tall kid. That's like, man, you know, what am I going to get when I defeat him? I mean, that's basically his attitude. So he gets to Saul, and verse 32, I love this. It says, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I mean, for 40 days, the guy's been out there, you know, just, they've been running just by seeing the guy. And here's some 5 foot tall pipsqueak, you know, if you really want to, you know, I'm just being honest. And the natural King Saul's like, who are you? You're just a little kid. Go away. But he didn't tell him to go away because he was the first man ever to step up. But he's also the first man ever to really know his God. I'm talking about maybe not the first man ever, but the first man here in this battle. All right, so it says, verse 33, don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There is no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. There's no way. There's no way. Okay, you know what? Whenever they told David there was no way, then he went back to tell Saul his testimony. See, sometimes if you remember your testimony, you know, it'll help you fight in your next battle. Because yes, you know, maybe the other things that you've battled weren't as big, but God got you through those things. See, it doesn't matter how big the obstacle in front of you is. What matters is how big your God is, how much he cares for you, and how he's going to get you through every situation, whether it's a small one or a big one. And that's something else. We need to understand that God cares about the small things just as much as he has the big things. You know, I know people that, you know, if there's a healing line, they have a cold or a cough or whatever, they won't get in line. Oh, it's just a cold, just a cough. It's just, who cares? Just a headache. Well, why don't you get rid of your cold, your cough, or your headache? I mean, God cares about you not, you know, coughing. And plus, in the day and age we live in, if you don't want to be coughing around people, people think you're sick. That's all I'm going to say. All right, verse 34, it says, but David persisted. Says, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with the club, and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. Now, here's interesting. This is the first time I actually saw it when I was looking at it. You know, he says, so when a lion or bear comes, I go to rescue it from the lion or bear's mouth. Now, there's a comma there, and he says this. He says, if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. So if the animal just lets the lamb go, he leaves it alone. Only when it turns on him does he kill it. Thought that was interesting. He's like, you know, I get it. This is, you know, I saw the Lion King, Circle of Life. These kind of things happen. You know, you come here, but you know, this is, well, maybe he didn't see the Lion King. Okay. I'm just, you know, that's Craig being funny. But you know, it is a circle of life. All right. So, you know, these people, these lions and bears, you know, come. But if they don't turn on him, if they'll give him back, he won't kill him. Now, here's the other side about it is, I don't know how many of you have faced a lion or a bear? I mean, you know, and with a club and a staff. So, I mean, that's a pretty big deal in my book. You realize, you know, some people say, oh, it's just a lion or a bear. I don't know. The only place I've seen a lion and a bear, well, I guess one time we were at the Smoky Mountains and there was a bear in my window, scared the fire out of me because I didn't realize how close it was. But for the most part, the only place, probably a friendly bear, you know, I'm not sure how friendly. I didn't open the door to find out, but, yeah. Huh? Yeah, he had what happened was, is at that time, I was trying to be a, I took a photography class and I had a really nice camera. So I had this wide angle lens, so it made things look a little different. And I was right against the window. And when I put the camera in, I realized that the bear's nose was right against the window of the car and kind of scared the fire out of me, you know. And I was in the car. I mean, it wasn't that I thought the bear was going to get me, but, you know, and I don't know. But for the most part, when you see lions and bears, it's at the zoo. Or the circus or something like that, you know, and, you know, you don't just go in to go talk to them, you know. I mean, to kill a lion and a bear with a club, it's a pretty big deal. Now, but what he was saying that is that even when he killed the lion and when he killed the bear, it was because his God was helping him in that situation. He was given a responsibility to protect the sheep. And you know what? He was going to do whatever it took to protect the sheep. And he wasn't afraid of a lion and a bear. And a lot of times, you tell you what, if you don't get afraid, it's a whole lot easier. But how can you get afraid when you know the champion lives on the inside of you? The problem is, do you know Christ like you should? You might have the boarding pass to heaven. But having a boarding pass to heaven is only one thing. The Bible says to forget not its benefits. There's benefits that come with the boarding pass to heaven. And so we need to know that the greater one lives on the inside of us. You know, and because when a lion and a bear come and they won't stop, I club them to death. I beat them to death. I mean, so, you know, Saul's probably listening like, okay. He goes, anyway, it said, hang on, I got to find where I'm. Okay, going back, it says, verse 36, I have done this to both lions and bears. Notice that's plural. He didn't say, well, one time I had a lion, another time I had a bear. He says, I've done this to both lions and bears. Multiple times, he's won a victory over some things that look pretty tough. But I'm here to tell you, I bet you multiple times that God has won a victory through your life on some situations. It might be smaller than what you're facing now, but you're still here today. And maybe you've had a lot of lions and a lot of bears. And you know what? That's the great thing about testimony, because you know what? If God can deliver me from the lions and the bears, he can deliver me from anything else that I'm going to ever face. Remember, we've already won the victory. And so I believe that every time a lion or a bear showed up, David knew that in the end, if that lion or bear messed with him, it was going to end up as, you know, dead. Because he knew that he was going to defeat a lion or a bear. And it wasn't. And you know what? I guarantee you, after the first one, the second one was a lot easier. He absolutely knew he was going to defeat it. He absolutely knew, you know, it's no big deal. You know, and I get it. We probably don't want to face the lions or the bears either. But you know what? We need to understand that we serve a God that's more than enough. All right? And it is interesting. So he says, if an animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw. He catches it by the mouth and clubs it to death. How many of you want to grab the jaw of a lion or a bear? You know, and I mean, you realize that this man does not have a gun. You're like, yeah, man, I got my shotgun, I'll blow that bear or lion away. No, he doesn't have it. He has a club in his hand. Not even a baseball bat like some of you have. This is probably a homemade club. Like a Fred Flintstone thing. Remember, you know, Fred Flintstone? You know? All right. Anyway, he says, I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do this, and I'll do it to the pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. See, he understands that it was God working through him that helped him in any kind of situation, no matter how big or how small, it's the same God. It's the same principle. It doesn't matter how big the battle. What matters is how big the God is on the inside of you. And you have already won the victory. That's the attitude you have to have. All right. So after that, says Saul finally consented and said, all right, go ahead. And may the Lord be with you. What else are you going to say? We've been here for 40 days. Nobody else has stepped up. So the 5-foot pipsqueak steps up, says, I know how to use my club. All right. So then they're like, man, you can't go out there with your shepherd stuff. You need good stuff. Verse 38. So then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on. He strapped a sword over it and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. And he says, I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again, and he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in a shepherd bag. So here's what happened. They put the armor on. You know, there's armor on and armor off. They put the armor on, and David's like, man, I've never used this before. I can't walk in this. I'm not used to it. When I killed the lion and the bear, I didn't have this stuff on. I didn't need this stuff. All I really need was God on my side. So he says, you know what? I'm going to take this armor off, because I've not tried this armor. I don't know how. See, what you need to go back to is you need to remember how you defeated your lions and bears. What did you do to defeat your lions and bears? What scripture did you stand on? How did you act? How did you think? Because you know what? It's the same thing. It doesn't matter how big the adversary is. It's you do the same thing you've always done. Because, you know, certain people, they'll try to give you advice. Well, you've never been here before, son. You know, so if I was going to face the Goliath, you know, this is what I would do, and this is how I would do it. You know what? And you're the same guy that never played the sport but always wanted to coach. And he's like, you know, thank you for trying to help me, trying to save my life, and trying to, you know, give me stuff. But, you know, but I don't know how to use it. I don't know how to use it. I do know how to use my sling. Now, I want to let you know, it's not a slingshot, it's a sling, okay? Just want to let you know that, because one time in the Word of Faith, we used the word slingshot because I was doing the David and Goliath story, and I said slingshot, so they put slingshot, so people griped and said it wasn't a slingshot, it was a sling. It was a sling, okay? And if you ever tried those, Mom and Dad bought me one of those slings from Israel. I kept turning the thing around, hitting myself in the head with that dumb rock. And I'm telling you, if I was going to go face Goliath, I would bring a slingshot, because actually I'd probably bring a 12 gauge. But anyway, that would, or an AR-15 or something a little better. But, you know, I've shot one before. All right. The sling doesn't work for me, but it did for David. All right. So here they were. I got to go back. I lost my place. anyway, he goes, I can't go out in these and protest the assault. I'm not used to them. So David took them off and he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into a shepherd bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. So picture this, a 5-foot pipsqueak with a staff and a sling and 5 stones in the bag comes up to face the man with, you know, the 34-pound sword and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it really looked probably hilarious. I mean, think about that. If you know, talk about a Kodak moment. Think about if we could see that picture today. What it would really look like, and how, I mean, it was like, man, there's no way. There's no way. And, I mean, there's, why would, if my own brain was, how did he convince the king to send them out there anyway? This is like a kamikaze thing. You're doomed. But, you know, it's pretty crazy. So verse 43 says this, Goliath walked out toward David with the shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at the ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his God. Come over here and I'll give you the flesh of, I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. So verse 46, it says, David replied to the Philistines, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut your head off, and then I will give the dead body of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. You know what? Maybe you need to read that next time you face your Goliath. Maybe you need to understand that, you know what? You know, whenever you come against God's people, because you know what? I'm part of God's people. I'm a child of the living God. I don't know about you, but whenever you mess with someone's children, they don't really, you know, they're not really happy about that. You know, so you know what? You're messing with God's children. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to go down in defeat, not because I'm special, but I have the champion on the inside of me. Greater is he on the inside of me than he that's in the world. I have overcome the world. I'm victorious through Christ. I have already won the victory. I'm just going out to complete the victory that I've already won. When I march in battle, I know I'm not going to lose because I've defeated a lion. I've defeated a bear. When I say I've defeated, I should say we've defeated. See, that's probably, maybe you need to change your verbiage. People want to change their pronouns. We. My pronoun is we. God and I. Maybe we'll be quads. We'll take four. I'll take the whole Trinity with me. You know, it's not about you. See, that's the thing. When you face your battle, you're not facing the battle by yourself. See, if we took that Kodak moment, you know, in the spirit realm, it would be different. We would probably see a band of angels around, standing right behind David, that were probably taller than Goliath. And probably, if we real spiritually took that Kodak picture, it would look completely different. It would look like, man, look at this army of angels going against one man. And there's a 5-foot pipsqueak in front of them. See, what happens is we're focused in on what we can do instead of focusing on what God can do through us. And like I said, I started out here, we've already won the victory. See, when David faced the battle, he never thought that he wouldn't come out victorious. And that's a mindset you have to understand. You have to know the Bible says that you're more than conquerors. The Bible says that you've already won the victory. So if the Bible says it, I'm just going to walk it out. I'm going to walk it out. I mean, I don't know how many times that I've heard my grandfather, talk about that the Lord showed him the service that was going to happen. He goes, I just went out there and recreated what I saw. God orchestrated it. Man, God orchestrated your victory before you even had the battle. And, I love this, what David said. Basically, David said, I don't care who you are. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how many swords, how many spears. I don't even care if you have automatic weapons. I don't even care if you have an atom bomb. I don't care, whatever. It doesn't matter who you are. What matters is who my God is, and my God will defeat you today. He never considered and never thought that he wasn't going to win the battle because it wasn't his battle. It was the Lord's. That's what you have to do. You need to give up your battles and let God take care of them. How in the world can you lose sleep if you know God's got you? That's what's so funny, If the Rhema singers and bands get up here and sing God's Got It and all that kind of stuff, you're shouting, running, doing the Rhema run and all these things, and you get home and you don't think God's got it. Because God's not got it when people aren't singing and talking. But you know what? God's got it all the time. God's got your back. God's got your front. God's going to see you through it. You've already defeated lions and bears. And I understand maybe literally, your lions and bears were a lot smaller than his lions and bears, but it doesn't matter. You realize if you believe God for a hot dog, then you can believe God for whatever else you need. It's the same faith. And you know what? If you haven't believed God for nothing, if you're a born-again Christian, because it took faith to be saved. The same faith that saves you is the same faith that heals you and the same faith that will set you free. Only believe, the Bible says. It's real simple. All you got to do is believe. All right, I'm going to finish this up. Verse 48 says, as Goliath moved closer to attack David, David quickly ran out to meet him. So you know what? He ran as fast as he could to face Goliath. He was, see, when you run, now, there are some people who said, okay, I'll go if you want me to go, Lord, but you know what? I'm not really sure about this. You know, I'll just creep up. Maybe I can surprise him. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's in the bathroom. I'll get him when he's in the bathroom. He won't know I'm coming. You know, no, David said he took off as fast as he could to face his battle, because it wasn't his battle. It was the Lord's battle. He was going to win. He couldn't wait to get the victory. A lot of times we ain't running to face our battles. We're like, okay, let's just hold that off for a little bit. They've been doing that for 40 days and 40 nights. All right, so it says right here, says, David quickly ran out to meet him, verse 49, reaching into his shepherd bag and taking out a stone. He hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. Now, you understand, the Philistine, I mean, he had a helmet on. He had body armor on. I mean, he had a guy holding a shield. He had all kinds of stuff. And David had, he only had 5 shots. But he only needed one. He only needed one. He did bring 5, but he only needed one. He says, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down toward the ground. Now, the thing about it was, is because when David let go of that stone and that sling, and he didn't literally let go of the sling, let go of that stone, all of a sudden God took over, and God directed that stone to hit Goliath in the right path at the right place to bring him down. Because it wasn't probable. I mean, you know, if we're using math and following the science, that's heard up. More than likely, in a natural world, David could have used all 5 stones and not brought him down. But this wasn't a natural battle. Science doesn't matter in this situation. Mathematics doesn't matter. Geometry doesn't matter. You know, all these kind of things. You know, maybe God sped the stone up so it hit him harder. So now some people ask, I just want to let you know, because Google asked this question, why did Goliath fall forward and not backward? Some people, so if that's what you want to know, I got the answer for you. It's good enough. Because when David began to run toward Goliath, Goliath also began to run toward David. So he was moving forward when he got hit. So, you know, he fell forward. So there you go. Google answered the question. All right. Just want to let you know, in case for some of you that I don't want you to leave this place and thinking, man, that was a great sermon, but why did Goliath fall forward? You know what? Does it matter? As long as your giant falls, I don't care if it falls forward, backwards, sideways, or gets obliterated and tossed to and fro. It doesn't matter what happens. Who cares what happens? What happened is that your God delivered you from your giant, and you came through it just like you came through with the lion, just like you came through with the bear. You came through it because God is on your side. The champion lives inside of you, and greater is he on the inside of you than he is in the world. And you have already won the victory before you even face the battle. I want you to get that clue. I want you to know that God knew you were going to face that battle, and God already provided a victory for you 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ hung on the cross and provided that victory for you. You have already won. So act like a winner and quit acting like a loser. All right? Anyway, so the stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone. And he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword. Now think about this. I already told you how big his sword was. This is a 5-foot pipsqueak. I mean, this is probably a big thing to pull out that sword. It weighed almost 34 pounds. But he pulled a Goliath's sword from his sheath, and David used it to kill him and cut his head off. It's probably pretty easy. All you got to do is just put it over his head, and that thing's so heavy, it's going to cut his head off. Now, why did he do that? Because he said he was. He did what he said he was going to do. You know, and probably he didn't have to, but it made him, Goliath made him mad, so he did. So here's the thing. It says, when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they turned and they ran. Do you realize, I mean, they're, he only had four more stones. They ran because they saw a 5-foot man killed with armed with a few stones and a staff, kill a guy's almost 10 feet tall. It had a full coat of armor. And you're worried about your situation. And you're worried about how it's going to happen. And you're worried. See, it's the same God today that was there. I am the God, Lord your God. I changed not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what are you worried about? You need to act like a champion. You need to be a champion because the champion's on the inside. You're not the champion. The champion's on the inside who always causes you to triumph in every situation. You're a winner. You're victorious. And you should act victorious. When you face the battle, you should know you're a winner. You should know that you're not going to lose. You should know that you're not going to be defeated. See, you need to start knowing something. So, you know, we all ought to know it alls. Well, if you want to be a know-it-all, you need to know what the Bible says. You need to know what God's word says. You need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You need to know you're victorious in every battle. And I tell you what, the good thing, man, if you face lions and bears, you know, what's a Goliath? When it doesn't matter, man. It's just the next progression up. You know, the next thing is Megatron. You know, come on at me, Megatron. You cyborg, you know, 20 feet, whatever you are, doesn't matter. With laser beams and who, whatever, I don't know. I've watched the cartoons. You know, it doesn't matter what the next thing is. Bring it on. Bring it on. I know who my God is, and greater is he that's on the inside of me than he is in the world. You're just the next one to fall. Act like a champion. Be a champion. Champions celebrate. Champions win. Champions don't lose. I mean, I remember in the days, you know, I don't really watch a lot of MMA, but I used to watch a lot of boxing. And someone like Muhammad Ali, man, people would get mad at him because he talked like a champion. Yeah. You know, hey, come on, I mean, I'm not going to lose. You come fight me. I'm not going to lose. I remember Mike Tyson in his heyday, that guy doesn't get beat. I mean, we used to pay the pay-per-view thing, and the guy would not even, we didn't even get a round worth. I'm like, that was a waste of money. Less than a minute. Mike Tyson knocks him out. But now, think about this. If I would pay my $29.95, you know, for my pay-per-view, you know, and Mike Tyson's facing a 5-foot pipsqueak, you know, this, you know, and the pipsqueak knocks Mike Tyson out, think, I'm like, my goodness, who is this guy? What is, you know, well, what, you know, this is, Goliath is bigger than a Mike Tyson at his heyday, or any other, I don't know all the MMA fighters, but he could have whipped them all. I mean, you know, he probably could have whipped all of them. But your God is so much bigger. Man, I hope today that the next time you face a battle that you'll remember this sermon. I hope today that you heard David and Goliath's story like you've never heard it before. I hope today that you understand that you are victorious. And I hope you understand, and you know, just quit griping. Quit being worried. If you can't sleep at night because of your battle, then there's an issue. You don't know your God. You're going to get through it. God's on your side, and you're a winner, and you're a champion because a champion lives on the inside of you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for these champions that are here in this room and those champions that are watching us online. We thank you, Father, to help us always to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Help us to always know that we're victorious. Help us to always know that we're a winner in Christ. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's anyone in this room today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, that today they'll come to that knowledge. Maybe they don't have a champion on the inside of them because they don't know Jesus. If you happen to be in this room and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to lift your hand right now, and we want to make sure that you meet the champion today. If that's you, lift your hand. You've never been saved and you're here today. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I know what it is to been saved, but I turned my back and I walked away. And today I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. If there's anybody here, we always want to give that invitation, because maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus. Or maybe you come to church all your life, but you've never had what my grandfather called a no-so experience. You don't know you're saved. You know what? You can live in a garage and not be a car. And you can come to church and not be saved. There is a salvation experience. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if you're not a born-again Christian today and you need to be, lift your hand. We want to pray for you across this auditorium. Amen. I don't see any hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you. If anyone is here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you for their salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.